This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following is paid for by Vincentian Collaborative System. Information on the program is intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio 1020 KDKA does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information aired on the following program.
Welcome to This Pittsburgh Life, featuring Vincentian's Nick Vizaka, President and CEO of Vincentian Senior Communities, where it's all about living.
All right, I see why you brought your beautiful child and your wife, and your son is out very busy today, revving up a great car cruise. It's a Yinzer day in Pittsburgh. Let's just take care of everything before we take care of some business with the good folks at Vincentian Collaborative. It's the first Saturday of the month, and that means it's This Pittsburgh Life with Nick Vizaka. Please introduce your lovely bride.
Thank you, Rob. So my lovely bride, this is Marie, my wife, and the mother of our three children.
You're so lucky.
I'm beyond lucky for many reasons, but... Being that next week is Mother's Day, we thought how appropriate to have her on here for a while to talk about, you know, life with me, but more importantly, as the mother of our three beautiful children.
Let's just begin by saying women do all the heavy lifting and we have it so easy.
I'm not arguing with that.
Listen, I think back, my five sisters, my mother, the mother of my children, all the work that they did when I was out trying to make a living, I had it easy. Just get to work, show up on time, do what you have to do, get a paycheck. While they were home, cleaning, cooking, taking kids to doctor's appointments, making sure they got their schoolwork done. When they had the sniffles or the flu, taking care of them, still trying to take care of a house, manage the bills, do all of that stuff. And in today's day and age, many of them work on top of work at home. So let me say thank you, okay?
Thank you.
Well, so here's the thing, Rob. So everything you just said, I thought was interesting. I knew that mom was more important than dad. You know when? So my dad was a Port Authority bus driver. And you know how hard that is.
Oh.
But when dad would run out of the house to go to work, to get away from us, then I thought, boy, dad must have it easy compared to mom.
But see, this is how it kind of all evolves. And I'm going to just lay it on the line. So earlier this week, I told you I had a little ailment. I'm fine. Was at the Heritage Valley Hospital emergency room, little stomach thing, good to go. They took great care of me. Big fan of Norm Mitry, the CEO there.
Oh, yes.
I bothered him all week, you know, get me in there, do what he had to do. Just wonderful people, great staff. But I'm sitting there and I'm waiting to be looked at. And I got the gown on and I look down and I'm by myself. You know, son came a little bit later, spent some time with him. And I see the socks, no shoes. I see my legs, the moles, the skin, you know, the liver spots, all of this stuff. And I'm like, my dad showed up from the legs down. It's my dad, you know. I remember him, you know, a few ailments. And when you get into your 60s, he would be in the hospital. You'd go visit him. And I'm like, where did time go?
Yeah, no.
And I'm resting my hands on what used to be my chest, and now it's my stomach. And I'm getting bigger, and I'm changing. And you look in the mirror, and you say, my hairline, my face, I'm my dad. So what's nice, and I was thinking about you, so help me, how nice it is to know that as we make this transition— there is Vincentian Collaborative.
There is, yes.
That wonderful place.
Yeah, and it's family, yes. It's absolutely. And I think that's part of the reason what drew me to Vincentian is it's a continuation of your family. Because to your point, some of these folks don't have any more family, or the kids are gone, or they're busy and doing things. And that's what Marie and I always talk about is we sit at night now and we say, you know, our oldest is going to be 19. And, I mean, we still have this little one here at 5, and she'll be around for a while. But, we're going to go to the movies, and we're going to get the kid discount and the senior discount at the same time pretty soon. I said, but how fast time goes. I mean, and
too fast.
It's too fast.
But you're the kind of guy, though, you wear your heart on your sleeve. I mean, I believe that, and I believe in you and what you're doing. When you hear these stories, the older you get, you start to realize why these people are so significant and why what you do is so important.
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the things that really gets me is when you see everything that these people have done in their lives, and then to get to this point, just like you said, look, you were sitting at Heritage Valley by yourself. You saw the moles, you saw the socks, and I'm sure you asked for a warm blanket because you were cold.
But you know what? One thing about getting older, everybody pays really good attention to you, you know, for the most part. They were so nice to me. And I'm going, thank you, young lady. Thank you, young man. Thank you, young lady. Thank you, young man. And I'm like.
Well, you know, as they were walking out of the room, there's like, there's a cute little old man.
No. But I mean, it just makes you realize how all of this stuff is so important.
Yes. Yes.
And listen, when somebody is at your wonderful facility and they end up having an ailment and their family's maybe on the other side of the country, you guys have to step up your game.
Well, I'm going to give you a perfect example, and maybe Marie can chime in on this. But Marie's mom, you know, she got ill a few months ago, and we couldn't leave her at home by herself. You know, Marie's father passed away a few years ago, so who was going to take care of her? You know, she lives in Penn Hills, and we're out in the north, and it's hard. You got families.
My sister goes back and forth, and with work, it's hard for her too.
It is.
It is, and you know, one of the things we said, I said she needs to come to Vincentian. I said even for a couple weeks. Come to Vincentian, get better, get stronger, and go home. And in fact, that's what she did. You know, was approved a short stay, and that's what she did.
And listen, Marie, get a little closer to that microphone. And this is something that I think you're going to agree with. As much as we want to love our parents and bring them close to our heart and our home, they still want their life. They still want their home, their memories. I mean, with all due respect, we would feel the same way. So you've got to be very careful on how you handle it. But in the same sense, you got to handle it, right, Marie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've tried getting my mom to go. She's probably listening, too.
We love your mom.
We tried getting her to go to a independent living place. But, you know, she wants her yard. She wants her garden. And she has her friends where she's at.
So it's the independence.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's very difficult to take people away from that independence. And we try that. And as you mentioned earlier with Terrace Place, I was just over there yesterday talking to some of those residents and saying, you know, they couldn't believe how, wow, you got all these activities and you allow us to garden. Really, we can still garden and I can plant flowers and I can bring my pets. And yes, absolutely.
Pets?
Absolutely.
Well,
yeah,
nice.
We have pets as long as they're under a certain weight, 40 pounds, and they don't bark and you clean up after them, Rob. But, you know.
Sounds like my dog. No, just kidding.
Mine too. No, but that's the thing. It's a downsize to them, but we want it to be worry-free. A lot of these folks want to travel. They want to go places. Lock the door. We'll take care of your home. Go enjoy life. Write the next chapter of your life.
We're going to talk about Terrace Place welcoming their first residents, and we're going to talk all about that with Nick when we come back. We got other things to talk about as well, too, but anything else you want to share with the audience the final minute before we go to the break? What else?
Final minute, what I want to say is thank you to my beautiful wife, Marie, for taking care of our three kids, taking care of the house, taking care of me, and her mother, and my mother, and all the mothers out there. I know it's a week early. But there's so many of them, and you know, my sisters and Marie's sisters, they're just fabulous what these women do. And I think sometimes it's not that they're overlooked. I think it's just taken for granted. Right? It's like when the power goes out, you're like, oh my God, what do I do now? When mom's not there or she's not there to do, oh my gosh, what do I do now?
Listen, honestly, and I can say this unequivocally, I always was appreciative to where I would bring as much money home as I could and said, look, just give me some change to go to the store and buy a nice little soft drink and a bag of chips. You keep it all because without you, none of this is possible.
100% amen. I agree.
All right, we'll be back. Stay with us.
Welcome back to This Pittsburgh Life featuring Vincentian's Nick Vizaka.
All right, we are saluting Mother's Day a week early. And rightfully so. Real quick story about your mom, then we're going to talk about Terrace Place. When you think of your mom, what do you think of?
When I think of my mom, I think of, you know, probably one of the strongest people I know. It's funny because in an Italian family, you grow up close, and not only with your brothers and sisters, your cousins. So my mother and my aunt, who I know is listening, my Aunt Vienna, are sisters, and my dad and my uncle are brothers. So two brothers married two sisters. Right, straight from Italy. So now we all look alike. So everybody thought my cousin and I were sisters. But when I think of my mom was a stay-at-home seamstress. And she was up in the morning at 4 o'clock because my dad worked for Port Authority. So she'd get up, make sure she made his coffee, and she started work. And she started work, and she worked until 6:30, got us up for school, and then she continued work. Then she would stop, make dinner, and we'd come home, and I'd football, baseball. She'd run to that. So she did 4 o'clock to midnight. So mom was she was like the little Energizer bunny and never complained. And I never saw my mom get sick, get a cold. Moms can't have cold. Like, you know, when Marie gets a cold, I get mad. I'm like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be like Superwoman. You can't get sick.
Listen, I grew up around some of these Italians. With all due respect, the male of the Italian population, they have it made. I mean, I've seen the old school Italians. They don't even get their own water. You understand what I'm saying? They were. I mean, to make coffee, get up at 4 a.m. My mother would have told my dad, I got your coffee. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So your dad, I'm sure he appreciates it, but he better never complain.
He better, you know, and I try not to complain, but I'm sure Marie was.
No.
She would say otherwise because, but they are. I mean, I think it's not just a cultural thing. I think it's, especially for me growing up Italian, we always looked at the woman of the house, the mom. You held her up to a higher esteem. I mean, she did everything. She cooked, she cleaned, she worked. She took care of the kids.
And she kept money in the bank so the lights could keep burning.
Exactly. So for me, when I think of mom, I think of, I don't know if there's a word to describe it, Rob.
Well, how about two words? Terrace Place, because if your mom needs it, this is the place. Talk to me about this place.
Terrace Place is fantastic. We welcomed our first guests, our first residents earlier last month, that April, and we're filling up quickly. And as they come in, you know, a lot of these people are downsizing. It's an apartment. Some of them are coming from, a 2,000, 2,500 square foot home. But once they get there and they see how easy the transition was and how worry-free the lifestyle is, and they start to interact with the other residents, because that's what we want. It's socialization. And I think our guest later on, we're going to talk about dementia, and you're going to have Rachel Wonderland on. It's that socialization aspect, that way to communicate, to start to ward off some of those things, whether it's Parkinson's or dementia or any of that. You have to stay active, and that's what we want. That's what we created with Terrace Place.
Now, you guys describe it by saying senior living smarter. So it really is looking at it as far as the overall picture, not just someone being old.
No, it's I hate the term senior living, but I guess that's all we have right now, right? Senior living. But smarter meaning the technology. It's not just about getting old. It's about you're not getting old. You're just writing your next chapter of your life. What is that next chapter? What are you going to do? What do you want to do? And how do we help you do it?
All right. Smart tech. We were talking about that. Live-in manager, LaRoche students. Great location. Variety of rent options to fit residents' needs and wants. So this is a total package.
Total package. And we identified 4 LaRoche students, 2 girls and 2 guys.
Great school, buddy.
That are going to live on in Terrace Place with these folks. So in return for them getting free room, they're going to do activities. They're going to socialize. It's built-in grandchildren. And so think of it like an RA in a dorm. That's what these kids are going to do.
You know, there's a movie in there somewhere.
Somewhere there's a movie in there.
Reality TV show.
I may have. Maybe you and I can.
You know, what a great idea.
Right.
And that keeps everybody thinking and respecting the seniors and also staying young by being around young people.
Well, I think when you look at some of the residents that we have moving in, they've led some pretty good lives. And whether in the corporate world or business owners, they got a lot to teach these younger kids. And I think that's when you have that interaction and you have the kids that want to ask the questions. But these seniors, they still feel, I mean, we're talking 87, 88 years old and older. I think we just had a resident move in who's 94, still drives, and he's active as can be.
Driving.
But they still have more to give. They're not done. So why do we think that they're done? They're not.
All right. Next up, before we get to Rachel in here, I want to talk about Vincentian and this National Leader Age Pennsylvania Conference later this year. What's going on?
So the Leading Age Conference, I'm actually on the board of Leading Age PA. It's nonprofits. They do a lot of work with nonprofit facilities like ours throughout the state. But we were actually selected by Leading Age National to present in San Diego at their national conference for one of the different things that we've put together. We call Vincentian Rise. What that is we promote our employees from within. We put them through a program, the next leader, the next future leader of Vincentian, and we put them through some training and through the organization. And then also we do a lot of sensory and dementia training, which has become very, very recognized throughout the country. Leadership rounding, and we use a methodology, patient and family-centered care. So all of that's going to be showcased in San Diego.
You know, when you go out and speak or you're at a location as far away as San Diego, it must make you feel good to represent who you represent.
It feels really good. And I got to tell you, the staff that we have, we have a fantastic COO. I know she's hopefully listening, Patty Embry and her team. When you go out and present, it makes you feel good afterwards. The response and the feedback that you get from your peers saying, what a wonderful thing you're doing. Can you come out to my facility? I'm in Oklahoma, you know, I'm in Nevada. I would love to do this out here. And, you know, in our industry, it's not competitive like these hospitals. There's a lot of seniors and we all have the same goal, you know, take care of those seniors. That's first and foremost for us. So we'll share whatever best practices we have. We're not going to hold any of that in for ourselves. The more people that can do it, the better care we get throughout this country and hopefully throughout the world.
All right. One more thing I want to cover, and we're going to recap some of this stuff before the hour is up because it's that important. Vincentian Golf Outing, the Sister Eileen Charity Golf Classic, happening next Monday, May 13th. That's a week from this Monday, day after Mother's Day, at the beautiful Pittsburgh Field Club. Limited foursome still available at vcs.org/golf. Go ahead.
So we're fortunate enough for that outing to have Mangino.
Yes.
So Mangino, who's a great friend, will be emceeing, and him and I will probably be sitting on the first hole harassing a lot of people as they come through. But we'll have a $1 million shootout. We have a live painter, so the guy's actually going to paint a painting while we're golfing, and then we're going to auction that off at the end. We've got a cigar cart. We've got a Bloody Mary bar, live auction. So as our folks like to say, it's not your grandpa's golf outing. We're going to have a good time. And it's
going to be this Pittsburgh life and this Newcastle life, you know, with Mangino.
Exactly. Exactly. And hopefully maybe you can come out and we'll make it, you know, we'll throw Beaver in there too.
Listen, it's just great stuff that you guys do. And it really, it's all about paying it forward and being out there. And, you know, in the namesake, obviously, of Sister Eileen, this is a great event, a lot of camaraderie involved. And it's just another way of networking too, right? Getting to know people.
It absolutely is. And I think when you look at the golf outing, the people that come to the golf outing, people that normally wouldn't think of Vincentian until you actually need it. So, you know, we want people to be aware that, to your point, Vincentian is here if you ever do need us, whether it's for yourself, your mom, your dad. I mean, we have folks that are in their 50s that come in for rehab, you know, after surgery, and they stay with us for a couple of weeks and they get stronger and they go. So when you think of nursing home, I don't want people to think of Vincentian as just a nursing home, right? It's a place you come and you can get better.
Yeah, it's not like you're stuck in a hospital bed 24/7.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I cannot stand the term nursing home. It's not a nursing home. Come to our homes and see some of our people and how active they are.
Speaking of family in this Pittsburgh life, watch where I go with this one. What you guys really do is what we grew up with. I saw it with my own family. Grandmother gets sick. She moves in, spends a decade plus with us. Wasn't even my dad's biological mother. It was my mom's mom. But he remembered all of the good that she did while we were growing up, and my dad didn't have the wherewithal, the financial responsibility, or the ability. So she would jump in and help out with food and what have you and presents during the holidays. So he was like, hey, that's my obligation. That's what I do. It's a different world today. Two paycheck households. People are going in different directions. So if you can have kind of that, a home away from home, where it's kind of like family, even though it's not biological family taking care of you in that setting, it's a win-win.
It's a win-win, absolutely. And I think, Rob, just to wrap it up too, with when we were talking to Marie, I was fortunate enough because I grew up with my mom at home. And to your point, it's a two-paycheck world. When our son was born 19 years ago, you know, we found out of the blue that he had hemophilia. And we thought, what do we do? We don't know what to do. So she said to me, can we afford it if I stay home and take care of him? And I said, we're going to make it work. My mom and dad made it work, so we're going to make it work. And we never looked back. So when you say how lucky I am, I'm lucky in that sense that she decided to, you know what, I am going to take care of this family. I am going to cook and clean and take care of the kids. And when it's time, I'll re-enter the workforce. So for me, that's where I feel that I'm the most fortunate.
Also, this leukemia thing is near and dear to your heart. Let me give you a minute to talk about that.
Near and dear to my heart. And that's where my oldest son is right now. He's at La Roche University from 11 to 4. They're running a car cruise. They're raising money. We just left to come here for this. And he had about 100 cars, and he was expecting another 100. They've got food trucks. They've got music. They're having a great time. We're down to the last week. It's one more week left. Next week's the finale at Heinz Field.
Yeah, tell the folks why you're so connected to it and your story. We got about a minute. Go ahead.
So for me, at the age of 12, I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage 3. So from that moment on, you know, we didn't have social media back then, so you couldn't highlight or put it on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram what you were going through. And, you know, I'm not famous. You know, I'm not James Conner and some of these other folks that have endured Mario Lemieux, what I endured. But for me, I want to pay it, as you said, pay it forward to these folks. So it's not just about all the good that I and the team do for Vincentian, but you've got to look outside of your four walls too, and you have to give it back to this entire region. And leukemia lymphoma for me is very close and near and dear to my heart, and I will continue to work to raise money for research and find a cure. So it was a 10-week challenge. We had a lot of fun, but boy, was it a lot of work.
Tell everybody who's coming up after the break.
So after the break, we have a dementia expert. We have Rachel Wunderland. She's master's in gerontology. She's an author of a book, When Someone You Know Is Living in a Dementia Care Community. It's important to me because where I sit, I get a lot of questions all the time about what's dementia, what's the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's. So it's great to have her on. We want to dispel some of those myths.
All right, that's all coming up. It's the first Saturday in the month, so what does that mean? It's This Pittsburgh Life with Nick Fazaka from Vincentian Collaborative. Lots more still to come today. Gideon Orbach, next hour, Weiner Wellness Center, Get Well Naturally, and then the Raja Show, 2 to 3. Rob Pratt, Saturday, continues. KDK Radio, 2 minutes away from the news at the bottom of the hour with Melinda Roeder. Stay with us.
The following is paid for by Vincentian Collaborative System.
Welcome back to This Pittsburgh Life, featuring Vincentian's Nick Fazaka.
All right, this is a topic that I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to. So, Nick, why don't you pick up with the third segment of This Pittsburgh Life on KDK Radio.
Thanks, Rob. So we have a dementia expert with us today, Rachel Wunderlin. Rachel has her master's in gerontology, and as we said before the break, she's the author of When Someone You Know Is Living in a Dementia Care Community. She also works as a dementia care consultant, runs her own business, Dementia by Day. She has a blog. It's fantastic, all the work that you do, Rachel. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So one of the things that I get a lot as a president and CEO of Vincentian, people automatically think you work with seniors, you should know everything about dementia, Alzheimer's, and everything. And I tell them, I wish I did, because I'd make a lot more money. But but honestly, I think what the biggest question I get, Rachel, and maybe you can answer this, is I think mom or dad is getting dementia. Mm-hmm. They're starting to lose their memory. How do we know the difference between dementia or truly just getting old and your memory starting to go a little bit?
Yeah, well, there are definitely age-related effects with your short-term memory. But I'll give you probably a story as an example. So I once went to a woman's house. I had heard from the family that she might have dementia. And so I was kind of on the lookout for it. But I never, when I meet someone who I think might have dementia, I don't tell them what I do. I'm just really there as a friend to talk, and we can kind of find out. So as I'm spending time with this woman, I think, well, she seems, you know, she seems okay. She seems maybe, if anything, mild cognitive impairment. And in the middle of our conversation, she says, oh, do you mind if I make a phone call? I said, no, of course. So she reaches and over and she picks up the television remote and she starts dialing a number on it and she holds it to her face. And I give her a second because I want to see if she's going to recognize this is a TV remote and not my phone. And she doesn't. So I say, well, I think you might want to use this instead. And I hand her the phone and she says, oh, yeah, I'm just tired, you know. And I thought to myself, that right there is the difference between the short-term memory loss of aging, which, you know, walking into a room and not being sure why you walked in there, we all do that.
Right.
You know, going, oh, why did I just come into the kitchen? Everyone does that. I'm 30 years old. I do that all the time. One time the other week, I lost my phone. It was on my face. I was talking on it.
I've done that with the sunglasses, right? Where the sunglasses are on the top of your head and you're going crazy looking for them.
We all do that stuff. We all do that stuff. But picking up a TV remote and not knowing that it's a TV remote,
right?
That's the thing. So usually there's like a big change. You know, there's something that happens where you're like, that was weird. That's the answer.
Yeah, and I think that it's frustrating too, because I saw this with my own grandmother, and my mother went through it where she would get really frustrated with my grandmother and hang up, and there'd be arguments. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 30 years ago, I think there was a misunderstanding, and people just thought, you know, you're just getting old, mom, and you're just, it's becoming annoying. And but there is also, and I think one of the things that I'd like you to talk about, and there is a difference between dementia and Alzheimer's.
Yeah. So the way I describe it is this. If you go to the doctor and the doctor says that your loved one has cancer, your question should be, well, what type of cancer is it, right? You wouldn't leave the doctor without finding that information out. But if you go to the doctor with your loved one and they say, oh, well, your loved one has dementia, you go, okay, great. But that's really not enough information. You actually want to know what the cause of the dementia is. Dementia is just a list of symptoms, essentially. It's cognitive loss over time. Dementia is caused by many different diseases, and Alzheimer's disease is the most common cause of dementia. So when people say, oh, yeah, he has Alzheimer's and dementia, that's kind of like saying he has cancer and skin cancer.
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of, we throw the word Alzheimer's around because it is so, you know, if you have dementia, it is most likely that it is Alzheimer's specific dementia. But there are over 100 other causes of dementia.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I think it's not just one thing that causes dementia. There's many things that do. And we're fortunate, You know, obviously at Vincentian, you do a lot of work with us at Vincentian de Marillac, but, you know, we do have memory care units, and there is specific training that our staff look for these signs, and, you know, when does somebody start to display those signs? But I think one of the things we talked about before was, how do you communicate with somebody that does have dementia? You know, where I said a lot of times my mother would get really frustrated with my grandmother, but how do you communicate with somebody to make it easy, not only for you as a caregiver, but for them also?
Yeah, absolutely. I hear this all the time. Like, this person's asking me the same question a million times. They're driving me crazy. The main thing I always tell people is something I call embracing someone's reality, which is really where you go with them to wherever their reality is, whatever that means for them. We all know that if you ever had an argument with someone living with dementia,
yes,
you know you're going to lose. Like, they will out-argue you all day. And what people do is they try to use logic to convince someone of something. So, Mom, don't you remember? You're 90 and your parents died years ago. And it's like, no good. So what we want to do is go to her reality. Whatever is true for her is also true for us.
Right, right. You're listening to This Pittsburgh Life. I'm Nick Vizaka, President and CEO of Vincentian, and we're here today with Rachel Wunderlin, who is an expert in dementia care. She has a master's in gerontology, and we're talking about dementia and Alzheimer's, the difference, the myths, what to look for. And one of the questions I have, Rachel, you see a lot now, you see it on the news, on 60 Minutes, you have these communities, and there was one in particular that I saw in California where the whole community was set in a 1950s style setting, the cars, the home, the music. And the thought is that you start to invoke some of these, you know, memories for these folks that have memory impairment. And to your point, now you can have that conversation. It brings them back to that time in their life. Is that actually true? Because I know in our memory care units, we play a lot of the period music for those folks. Is that something that is actually true?
Yeah, absolutely. I always tell people to live in whatever reality they're in. And usually that reality happened a few decades ago. So what stays intact is that long-term memory. The what they lose oftentimes is the short-term.
Got it.
So the long-term memory is what's intact. We're going to focus on that. So you really do want the environment, the place that where that person is living, to be familiar to them, whatever that means. There's a really wonderful place that, I mean, a lot in the U.S. we're kind of modeling after what they've done in Europe. There is a place in the Netherlands called Hoogeve, and it is a community that is built like a town. And so
right.
There's a post office where the residents can go, but the people who work there are the care staff. So the care staff work in the little grocery store. The residents can go there and shop. And so they continue like their normal lives, but safe in the community.
Right. And I've noticed that in my interactions with some of our residents in our memory care that have the dementia, that if you engage them in a conversation about, and I'll use an example, you know, we had one resident who was around when Bill Mazeroski hit the home run. So if you talk about baseball and you talk about that time, all of a sudden they start talking about the games like they're happening, like they just happened last week. And it's amazing that their memory takes them back and the detail that they get. But then you ask them, you know, what did you do yesterday? And nothing.
Right. What I often tell people is that time is not particularly linear in dementia. So this is why sometimes a person living with dementia will have trouble recognizing people that they love. It's not that they don't know that person. It's not that they don't love them. But, you know, if your dad thinks he's 40, you walk in the room and you're 60, he's like, who's this guy? Right?
Right.
He's thinking, well, this guy must be my dad. I know that I like him. He sounds familiar. He looks like me. Oh, he's my dad. You know, and this is his son walking in the room. But it makes sense. If their world is not particularly linear, they're going to put people that they care about on the timeline where they are.
And I think that's the most heartbreaking thing. When I see families come in and they see mom or dad and they think, oh my gosh, they don't remember me anymore. It's heartbreaking. Mom doesn't even know who I am. It's not true at all.
It's not true. It, you know, mom knows that she loves you, but she can't figure out why you're so old. It's essentially what it is.
Right.
Because she doesn't think she's that old. You know, Yeah, when I've worked in, you know, assisted living, and I've had residents who are pretty sure we're the same age. You know, I had a 95-year-old woman a couple months ago. I went and did a training at a community, and this woman came up to me and she said, "Oh, well, we were talking. She said, "We're about the same age." I said, "Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right."
Yeah, and you do see that a lot, I think, in our communities. But I want people that are listening, not just that have family at Vincentian, but if you have any family in any senior community throughout the region or wherever you're listening, don't stop going to see mom or dad or your aunt or uncle because you think that they don't recognize you anymore or they don't know who you are anyway, so why waste my time? They do. To your point, they just can't put two and two together. And these folks are lonely. So I think that it's important that we continue to have that social aspect. And as we were talking before, to continue to stimulate the brain. I think I read a study once before. You know, we have, obviously, the Vincentian, we have a lot of sisters in our community, the nuns. And there was a study that was done of 175 nuns that after they died, they donated their brain to science. And when they studied that brain, all of them had the gene or the makeup that they should have dementia or should have Alzheimer's, but none of them displayed it outwardly because they stayed active with their mind, with their body, engaged in the religious community.
Right.
And so it wasn't something that outwardly came out. Now, it did in some of them, but for the most part, they kept it suppressed. And I think that's amazing. It's just incredible. So the importance of socialization and the importance of please continue to visit mom or dad, even if you think they don't recognize me, so why waste my time? That's not true. That's not the case. They need you there.
All right. We're going to come back with more in just a couple of moments. Stay with us. Don't forget, after the news at 1, Dr. Gideon Orbach today, hosting Get Well Naturally, KDK Radio.
Welcome back to This Pittsburgh Life, featuring Vincentian's Nick Vizaka.
All right. Nick and Rachel Wonderland for the final segment of the program. They'll be back the first Saturday in the month of June. Boy, how time flies when you're having a good time. Just a couple of things that you guys want to talk about. Tara's Place and also the golf outing before we get back to Rachel.
Yeah, the golf outing next Monday, as we said before. Mangina will be there with us. We'll be at the Pittsburgh Field Club. A lot of things going on. Many events within that event. Million Dollar Shootout, live painting, cigar cart, Bloody Mary bar. It's going to be a great time. Tara's Place. Open. We're welcoming residents. We've got the first, 15-20, and we're still taking applications. People are coming in every day. It's extremely popular out in McCandless.
And tell them why you're going to San Diego, too.
So going to San Diego, the Leading Age National Conference, we're going to present some of our great programs that we've instituted at Vincentian that have gotten interest nationally. Patient and family-centered care, Vincentian Rise, leadership rounding, some sensory and dementia training that we've done in our homes. It's starting to get the attention of folks nationally, so it's exciting.
It is exciting. Tell everybody why Rachel's here.
Rachel Wonderland is here because we are talking about dementia today. We were talking about, I get a lot of questions from families, from residents, friends that say, what's the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's or memory loss? And I thought it was important. Rachel does a lot of work with us at Vincentian de Marillac to just explain to people what the differences are, what to look for, and how to interact with people that have dementia. Rachel's an incredible person. And as I said, she has written a book. She has a blog. We're going to talk about a couple other things, but then at the end, a way to get a hold of Rachel if you do want to talk to Rachel some more. So it's exciting. The topic is timely, too. I think more and more today you're seeing it on the news, and we want to just bring it to the forefront.
So, Rachel, real quick, what are some of the things that people should be looking for, especially caregivers and, obviously someone with surviving parents as, Nick and Marie are dealing with and so many others in the audience, just some things that they need, maybe some red flags. What should they be looking for?
Sure. definitely short-term memory issues. So stuff that happened very recently or things that are coming up. Their long-term is probably going to be pretty intact. So they can talk about stuff that happened decades ago, and it's going to be fine. The other thing that I would really look for are really mistakes, I guess I would say, bizarre things that they do. Earlier in the story, I was telling about a woman who picked up a TV remote and was trying to make a phone call on it, or misjudgments. The inability to make safe decisions about one's own health care. So, hey, Dad, please make sure you turn on the basement lights before you go down there. No, I'm fine. I don't need them on. Or every time he goes, he keeps the basement lights off. Stuff like that, where you're like, ooh.
Rob's smiling because I think he's done that.
let me just tell you this whole cycle of life. Just quick story. My oldest son, 28, child of his own, beautiful little Grace, born in September, his wife, Sarah. my son's in great physical condition, you know, did the whole thing, mixed martial arts. As I boxed as a kid, worked out constantly, same thing, blonde hair, brown hair. That's the only difference. We're sitting in Chipotle eating one day, and I'm just trying to eat. And he's like, you know, Dad, you really need to eat more salads. You need to do this, you need to do that. And I looked up and I said, Ty, I said, just think of this. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I'm you. Now I'm me. We used to be my dad. And my dad would say this when I would say the exact same thing. Just leave me eat, okay? Don't bother me.
So I'm sure Ty's probably looking and going, oh my God, 30 years from now.
Right, same thing. My dad told me the same thing.
Sure.
So you got to be careful on how you approach your parents. And,
oh, yeah.
And she's going to get to this. That's why I went that whole way to get to this point. You got to do it with tender, loving care, understanding they don't want to lose their independence. And to them, no matter how old you might be, you're still their baby, still their kid, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's, we were talking during the break, that's the hardest conversation to have. When you start to see some of these signs and you start to get some of these warning signs, how do you approach your mother, your father, your loved one? You know, it's hard to say to somebody, you should get evaluated because I think you have this.
Yeah, how do you do that?
How do you do that? I couldn't, if I said that to my dad, I think I'd hear a dial tone and would just hang up.
No, this is the best way to handle it. Hey, sis, I think you ought to talk to me.
Yeah, get somebody else to do it. But, you know, all joking aside, to Rachel's point, it is a safety concern because then you do forget. And we would see this even with my grandmother. She would leave the stove on and the gas would just, and it wasn't, well, it was cold. And you know, back in the old days, they used to do that.
Yeah.
Like back in the old days. Now I sound like my dad, you know, when he would walk to school both ways
in the snow
uphill. Right. So, but you have to be careful because, and this is one of the reasons we bring back to Terry's Place, Rob, and any senior community, for the most part, all of them should have electric appliances, the stove. You don't want to leave the gas on. And that's a safety reason. And a lot of people coming from their home to Terrace Place go, you know, what's going on here? I used to have a gas stove and now I have this. Well, now I have to think about the safety of 180 other people. And the way they make these gas or electric ranges, now they're just as good. But these are things that somebody living with dementia or Alzheimer's or any memory impairment, it's dangerous. It's extremely dangerous.
Yeah, one of the main reasons I wrote my book is because I found that there was no information out there about wanting to move someone to a care community. So, you know, if you Google dementia, everything that comes up for caregivers is like how to take care of your loved one at home. But for some people, that doesn't make sense anymore. You know, you may need to consider a community. And I found that there was so much guilt and shame that came along with trying to make someone else's healthcare decisions. And it's a scary, pretty awful thing to have to do, but sometimes you got to do it.
So one of the things that, and I know there's people listening, and I've asked this all the time, is, as I said earlier, our son has hemophilia, and you always hold out hope for a cure, right? Or somebody with Parkinson's. And you see this all the time on TV, and people get excited. Well, there's going to be a cure. There's going to be a cure. And everybody's pushing this. And honestly, Rachel, in your opinion, what do you see as the future for Alzheimer, dementia, or any memory impairment in terms of a cure, or at the very least slowing it down, the progression of it?
It's tough, right? Because there are over 100 different causes of dementia. So while maybe we'll have something to solve one cause, there's a bunch of other ones we have to cope with. The main one that everyone's pushing money into is Alzheimer-specific dementia. They recently, I think it was Pfizer, which is a big drug company, recently abandoned a big study they were doing because they kind of felt like it was going in the wrong direction. They were focusing on one specific outlet for research. The problem is we don't really know what causes a lot of different types of dementia. So even Alzheimer's disease, we're not 100% sure, it seems like. So finding a solution is really back to, wait, what's the cause? So we can deal with that. I do think, you know, within the next 10 years, we're going to have definitely something on the market to at least slow it down. We do have some medications now to deal with symptoms and potentially slowing it. But I think we're going to have something soon, really, if nothing else, but to slow. Yeah.
So I think the one piece that I get from this, and whether you have dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, whatever it is, the key to this, and this is the main focus for us at Vincentian, and I think it should be for any senior community, is just living an active life. Living an active lifestyle, whether it means moving physically or challenging you mentally, it's both aspects of it. So there's a socialization aspect, there's a mental, there's a physical. So how do you put that all together? Now, is that going to cure dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's? Probably not, but it will. And I see this, you know, with my own father, it does slow symptoms down and it does make things a lot better. And I try to push that, you know, you've got to move, you've got to stay active with your mind. And he'll say, well, I watch TV. Well, I do. No, you've got to get out and socialize. As much as you don't like it, you have to get out there and do it and just stay active mentally and physically. It is a challenge. But, you know, I think even in our homes where we are now, it's about creating activities. Look, it's no different than I just saw on TV. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Kennywood is now an autistic center. So it's 80% of the staff have been trained in that. And that's something at Vincentian that we want to do when you look at dementia. We want our staff trained and be able to recognize the symptoms and the signs of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Also a good idea, just go out and ride the roller coasters at Kennywood. You'll always be a kid when you do that.
I know last month we had Rick Seebeck and I was excited to watch his Kennywood memory reboot on Nebby on May 2nd. I was excited to
listen. I would have never stood up and my hands were always firmly grasped around the bar.
Terrified. Yeah, terrified. My mom would tell me, you're going to fly off and lose your head. What's the matter with you? Right? So,
hey, listen, Rachel, thank you, Marie. Happy Mom's Day. Good to see your beautiful family again. And I don't know. Just you do great work. I'm going to give you the final minute. Just one quick more story about your mom. Come on, give me something about your mom.
Best cook in the world.
I know.
I mean, you can, and Rob, before this is all said and done, I know that you want to start to watch your health, but do it after. I'm gonna have you over the house because everything is made from scratch. And that's so we go to that, and I say, this is why I'm blessed too. My wife learned a lot from my mom. When we got married, the night of our wedding reception, my best man gives me a cookbook, How to Boil an Egg. He said, good luck. She's Italian, but she can't cook. But listen, she makes bread from scratch, pasta from scratch.
You're a lucky man.
I'm a lucky man, Rob.
All I know is next to Mother's Day, there's only one day more important, National Meatball Day. I never miss it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, have a great, you think I'm kidding, have a great day. We've got more to come. Gideon Orbach is here. Get Well Naturally. Spring Fling event is coming up May the 11th through the 18th. Going to tell you all about that, too. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, stay with us. Melinda Roeder coming up with your 1 o'clock news in 2 minutes on KDK Radio.
Preceding was paid for by Vincentian Collaborative System. Information on the program was intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio 1020 KDKA does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information heard on the preceding program.